All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. Today we have with us Jamie Walden. Jamie is a prior law enforcement. He has an extreme medical background. He's got some private contracting and overseas work, ministry work overseas, and is also prior law enforcement. And Jamie and I are going to be talking about stuff happening in the military, stuff happening.
Well, bro, Marine Corps infantry, come on.
Hey,
where are you at?
Dude, I was going to save that for last. Come on,
man. Where you at, so, man? Come on.
We also both are Marine Corps infantry. We were in around close to the same time frame.
Yeah. Yeah. We pretty much we were close to overlapping. I don't think we quite overlap, but.
Yeah, we walked in the same schoolyards, more or less, over in Iraq. But, you know, I think we got a good show for today. We got a lot going on with the military. Jamie, we got a lot going on with law enforcement, and it's disturbing. There's like, I have nothing good to say. You know what I mean? You're just like, come out on the radio and you're like, hey, you know what? Today is going to be the day. I got some uplifting stuff. You guys are going to love it. And like, I get that once a month, but, yeah. You know, let's start off with the military. What's going on with the recruiting? What in the world is happening to our military?
Yeah, it's interesting what's going on right now. Like you said, just in your opening, like sometimes it is hard to know where to go. You know, they call it this Cloward and Piven strategy, right? Was I think they were two Stanford professors that kind of coined this word. They were psychologists or sociologists. I don't know. I'm sure they were some libtard who knows what, but they developed this algorithm, this psychological algorithm for social engineering called the Cloward and Piven strategy, two last names of the two professors that coined this. And what the Cloward and Piven strategy says is that if you overwhelm a populace, or you overwhelm even down to the individual with multiple layers of things going on at the same time, you just keep putting on layer, keep putting on layer, keep putting on layer. It's almost like a mild form of trauma-based mind control where people can't connect things together because there's always something else to replace the last thing that they were trying to process. So there's actually never any time to process. And through this social engineering of what would be controlled confusion or controlled perplexity, you actually can soften a population to do whatever you want them to do. What's interesting is even in our world, right, information and breaking down current events, intelligence, news sources, and biblical prophecy, how it all relates together, is even I'm victim to the Cloward and Piven strategy. Like, you're like, dude, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know where to go, right? Like you have people that are literally shouting to murder their baby. They'll do whatever they can to shout out loud to murder their babies, right? And and then you have the other side that's totally complacent, doing nothing. Then you have the wokeism, progressive Marxism that's infiltrating the U.S. military. And then you have the geopolitical contingencies that are going on globally. And then you have the geostrategic things. Then you have the space-based weapons platforms coming at you. Then you have the infiltration through medical tyranny and what's coming burgeoning out from that, you know. And so you have all these multiple different layers of things that are going on simultaneously to where you can't even adequately compartmentalize the reality. So for instance, U.S. military, okay, let's just hit on that for a minute. You know, the U.S. Army, among some of the other branches, has utterly reduced their standardization for what it looks like to be a basic competent level warfighter for either Americans' interest abroad, for domestic homeland security, or for just the prowess of the protection of American assets globally, internationally, right? Which is generally what our military is utilized to do. They've reduced every standard under the sun. And in particular, what they have attacked, I mean, the Army's been infiltrated for a long time, right? Air Force, we don't even talk about the Air Force. The Air Force is one of, if you're not aware of this, listeners, sorry, I know usually when I come in, I end up like talking all this like far existential stuff, but it's a reality. But the Air Force is one of the highest occultic programs in the United States of America is the United States Air Force. It is centralized on deep mystery school religions. I know people that have come out of the Air Force Academy and they're horrified at the indoctrination that occurs. Now, that's not for the low-level airmen. That's at the top tier, right? The Air Force, for all intents and purposes, is not even a governmental institution. It is more of a mystery school. At the high levels, it's a mystery school. They operate, you know, globally apart from the behests of the United States military, and they carry out missions, and they have mission sets, and they have objectives, and they have an ethos and a code of conduct that is not in alignment with classical American values. So let's get that right with the Air Force. So we're not even going to talk about them. But Army, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard now falls under DHS, but Army, Navy, Marines, they have been systematically since the Obama era, which is still, we're still under the Obama administration, if anybody isn't aware of that. But under the Obama administration, the abomination, I can't even say it right, right? Like, it's just like, talk about a Freudian slip. But the
garbage president
administration. Yeah, they have so systematically sought to reduce and destroy the American fighting spirits. And the American fighting competencies and capabilities to where it's all asymmetric warfare against our own military so that we will roll over in the next big fight. So when you see them reducing all these things, even like trying to insert women into the Marine Corps infantry or making the Army soldiers walk around in high heels so they have this wokeism understanding, or talking about men being pregnant in the Navy, what the freak is going on? Dude? Like, this is insane. Here's what's insane, dude. Okay, I digress. You know I'm good at that. Here's what's insane. It doesn't shock me that governments and corporations want to manipulate, lie, cheat, steal, lord over, rule over, and be in a complete position of dominance and control. That shouldn't shock you, right? That's governments all throughout history. That's corporate greed all throughout history. That doesn't shock me. Here's what is shocking to me about what's going on in America right now is the American people allow it. That what's shocking to me is nobody gives a crap. They're like, dude, just whatever, you know, hey, as long as I can, you know, I don't care about the transvestite reading to my kids in public school, as long as my wife can keep her job and doesn't have to be a stay-at-home mom so we can have a two-income household. Right. Like, this is how narcissistic the American culture is. Like, the grandparents, where are you? You know, the greatest generation. See, you're living fat off of your IRA and your pension because you say you got yours, and your grandkids are being cannon fodder for the most wicked, licentious, perverse things ever. And you don't care because you got yours. So now that you have your fifth wheel and you have your sweet new F-350 or F-450 dually, you can travel a country without any regard for what's happening to your kids because your adult children aren't investing in your children. Where are you at, grandparents? You know, and so then you see the military's infiltration and the reductionism of everything that did make America exceptional, of these core values and these ethos within that's ingrained within the American culture. Although there's always corruption, right? There's wherever there's humanity, there's going to be corruption. But as an institution, generally, our constitutional republic and capitalism and an all-volunteer military, nobody on the face of the earth has seen anything like it. It is the most unique experiment in all of human history. That is why they're doing everything to tear it down. And that's why they're doing everything to soften the battlefield through asymmetric warfare for a kinetic invasion by a coalition of both the Russians and the Chinese and some Central and South American countries with some insurgent aspects from Hamas and Hezbollah. I know I just laid out a whole mouthful in one little paragraph, but that's the reality of what's going on. So, this is actually prophetic fulfillment. So I'm always going to come back to the biblical worldview. It's the only thing that has value, right? It is actually prophetic fulfillment, Deuteronomy 28, of God's judgment on a nation. One of the number one ways that the Lord makes it known that a nation is under judgment is by the reductionism of their fighting force and of their prowess. And what it even speaks to in Nahum that in that day, talking about the day of God's judgment, that your fighting men will be like women. I didn't understand that until the last 2 years, that means literal. Like literally our fighting men are going to be like women. Like they're literally being told to act pregnant. They're literally being forced into high heels. They're literally being fed every sort of, what's the name you said for the other group to use?
The other community.
They're literally being infiltrated with every single aspect of the other community. Possibly this is judgment on a nation. It says in that day when the battle cry goes out, nobody will come out to battle. And that day, all your fighting men will be like women. And that day, there will not be a sword found among the people in that day. And so this even speaks to, there is judgment that God passed on Ephraim. It says, though armed with the bow, Ephraim turned back on the day of battle. So even the stomach for a fight has been removed from the military, even from a lot of our infantry, our combat arms class warriors from Army and Marine Corps in particular. You know, we generally carry the infantry roles, Army and Marines. Navy has their different special warfare communities that obviously are frontline combat warriors. Air Force has, you know, different aspects of their FACs and their forward air controllers, their forward observers, their PJs, and you know, everybody's got their special forces communities, but they have strategically removed even the warrior fighting spirit. Dude, I had a dude, you know, I was an in-house parent for a therapeutic boarding school for teens. And one of the kids came to know the Lord in there. Praise God. That's what it was all about, right? Investing in these young guys, you know, trained them up in the military. Dude was adopted from Russia when he was 12, super rough background, you know, a lot of self-hate, a lot of like all these identity issues. Finally, he's starting to get encouraged. So he decides to join the military. That after being around me forever, that's all he wanted to do is join the military. Marines wouldn't take him. Army wouldn't take him. Just, I don't know, because of his background and being naturalized. I don't know why. So finally, he gets in the Navy. He was in boot camp for 6 weeks. And he pleaded with them to get out. And they let him, which is crazy because normally they don't. He said within the first 6 weeks, he personally walked in on 3 sets of the other community in the middle of boot camp going at it within the first 6 weeks. He said it is the most disgusting reprobate thing ever. He said the first day, I don't know what they call them in the Navy, drill instructors or hey you, or like bro, they probably call their drill instructors bro. So whatever they call them in the Navy, they're like his bro, which was his drill instructor. He said first day they sat down and he said, is anybody among you, are any of you guys Christians? And he raised his hand. He said, we hate people like you in here. And then he moved on with the conversation.
Really?
So I'm like, this is what's going on in the Joint Chiefs. You know, I had a good conversation with Colonel Oliver North. Most people know him. You know, he has a very high reputation, a man of honor, a man dedicated to the defense of the core values, the historical core values of the United States of America. I was having a conversation with him off air, and he said, I don't want to misquote him, but we'll say 90%. I'm almost saying he said every single one, but just so I don't misquote him, 90% of all the Joint Chiefs are completely bought off by China, and all of them are there for an infiltration and a reduction of the U.S. military for a kinetic invasion. This is a guy who literally operates at that level and has for 35, 40 years, right? And so this is what we see going on, even with the recruitment. So not only do we see this in the military, we also see it with law enforcement. The whole purpose of defunding the police and of the, what's the other word for that thing that goes in your body that changes your body that we can't use? What's the word for it? What is it?
We'll have to make that up one day.
We'll call it
medicine.
Yeah. So the reason for the defund the police, the reason for the medicine, you know, mandates and all these different things in the military is they know. This is social engineering. They know who will refuse it because they have a mind of their own, because they're free thinkers, or because they're obedient to a higher power, being the Lord God Almighty. They know who's going to leave, who's going to take their early retirements, who's going to be forced out. They know. They have purged the military. They are purging law enforcement. They are defunding police. All this is the sowing of chaos for a total systematic takeover with boots on the ground, right? And so this is what it's all centered on. And so again, that Cloward and Priven strategy, it doesn't allow us to connect the dots. Remember under the Obama regime, when they purchased 3,700 MRAPs, where'd those go? Nobody knows where they're at. Remember with the 7 billion rounds of ammo, where'd those go? Remember the paper target acquisitions that were pregnant moms with guns and grandpas with their grandkids, this desensitization of the DHS, you know, and all the other offshoot institutions under DHS.
And I want to say that in my agency, we never saw that. We had regular paper targets. God, I can't remember the name of the guy that made the paper target, but it's just a dude with a six shooter like this. All right, we used those exact same paper targets for 10 years while I was in.
Yeah. So you go, where is all that stuff?
Yeah.
Who's using it?
Yeah. We never used anything. I've seen all the different things about the kids with guns and pregnant mothers with guns. I never personally saw that. I'm not saying that it's not there. Other agencies do other things, man.
But,
you know, in our armory, we had a lot of bullets.
Did you?
Dude, a lot of bullets. And I mean, like, when we would take in pallets of bullets, I'm like, why aren't we getting ammo? Because we're supposed to get ammo, like 250 rounds of ammo per weapon system after every qualification. You qualify every quarter, so four times a year. A shotgun, rifle, and two pistols. And, you know, we'd be like, hey, you know, give us our squeeze, man. Give us all of our bullets. And they wouldn't hand them out.
That's crazy.
Here's one box, or here's enough to go back into, you know, enough to refill your duty ammunition. And then here's a box or two occasionally. Now, every now and then, you know, you get, you know, a whole backpack full of ammunition. But that was very rare, right? And so we'd complain amongst ourselves, dude, we got all this ammunition. You expect us to train, give us our rounds so we can train. But they hold on to it, man. Like every single law enforcement office, at least federally, that has law enforcement in it, they have like little caches of weapons everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Do you remember that. Like, right. USPS, you know, the Postal Service and the IRS and like, the Oceanic Administration, right? Ella. Atmospheric and Oceanic. They all, do you remember when all that government accounting information came out? Like they were getting millions and millions of rounds in MRAPs. And you're going, what does the National Oceanic and Atmospheric, and why do they need that? And why does the U.S. Postal Service need that? And why does it whatever? And it was every single government agency they used to spread out the allotment for these purchase orders to the government accounting office. So people wouldn't go, oh my goodness, they're amassing for war against the civilians.
Well,
so they tried to spread it out, you know?
And once again, my agency was the uniform law enforcement agency for the government. We never got an MRAP. You know how many times we asked for it?
Where are they? You know, it's like, where are they?
You know how many times we were on the border getting shot at, or we were in just regular freaking Ford Explorers, right? You know, a 9mm will whiz right through these new Ford Explorers or our old Tahoes. And that's all we had. You know, I at one point in time, I had a 2008 Tahoe. Thing was a beast. I mean, I could beat it up, but, you know, they got rid of that. And we got these pansy little Ford Explorers, and half the electrical system doesn't even work on it. So your car, while you're driving, would just shut down. That's not unsafe. But, you know, even with all the riots going on, man, we never got an MRAP. You know how many different times we said, hey, at least give us a van so we can transport guys. But you know what we have to do? We have to go and rent cars. So we would go and rent cars and use that for operations. It's the most hilarious thing that you would ever see, because you'd be that one guy who showed up in the soccer mom van. And they're like, ah, last guy to get back from the airport. Got the soccer yep. mom van. But here, let me give you a quote, though. Tell me who said this. We cannot continue to rely on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, and just as well funded.
Former President Barack Obama. Hussein Obama. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, hey, let's talk about this. Between the Democrats who are saying that SCOTUS is incompetent, illegitimate. Bro, they're saying the Supreme Court is illegitimate.
Yeah.
No, dude. I mean, like, you're at that point in time, you're rebelling against like the very little facts of life that make up the Constitution. Now, I don't agree with everything that the Supreme Court has said, but look at what they've been doing lately. They came out against Roe versus Wade, put it back in the state's hands. Hey, little victory. That's not a big victory.
No, it's not. People are taking it as a more significant victory than what it was. And I keep trying to inform people, like, obviously, okay, the Lord's being glorified right now more than he has in a long time. So I go, praise God. Like, praise I stand God. In unison with everybody that's going, praise God, praise God. Okay, God's being glorified. So praise the Lord, he's being glorified. But I'm like, now, not to rain on your parade, but just so you know, the Democrats are the ones that wanted that overturned so that they could re-energize and regenerate their base for the midterm elections. You know exactly. That the Democrats made that happen, not the Republicans and not the apostate American church that could care less. They're not the ones that sowed the seeds for that to get overturned. That was a strategic geopolitical move to foment violence, rage, and to unify their base for the midterm elections and to create greater division. It's all about division. So I'm like, you gotta see the forest through the trees on that one, you know?
Well, and you also got, you know, Supreme Court came out and more or less undid New York's law on carrying weapons. So more or less nationwide now, the Supreme Court is acknowledging that you have the right to carry nationwide. Which that really pisses off all the Democrats. And then they just came out again and voted in favor of the coach who was fired for praying with his football team. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I was telling my wife last night, I was telling her, God is moving. Something's happening. God is moving. And I hope that we can grasp a hold of this. And we can energize the population. At least of Christians, and say, hey, man, get after it. Start evangelizing even more. Get on the streets and start talking about Christ. You know, but here's the problem. You're going to be met by a whole nother army.
Right.
You're going to be met by a whole nother group. And that's what I was just quoting. A civilian national security force, just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded as what? The military? Law enforcement? Do we need Antifa and BLM to have Hellfire drones? You know,
well, I mean, even think, I mean, I take this into consideration with where they, by their own words, say that they're trying to take us, right? Which is full on civil war, like kinetic civil war again, for the last softening blow. So it goes in critical infrastructure reduction, critical supply chain reduction. It goes national identity, erode the national identity. So they're not unified. This is all the Perestroika deception that, you know, there's been numerous Russian defectors that have said, this is what we're going to do. We're playing a long game, right? And they have been playing a long game. So then you have these caveats. The next thing will be a radical economic collapse, beyond recessionary. We were talking Great Depression times 1.5, you know, is where we're looking at. And with that is the sowing and the fomenting of division across every single line. This is Marxism 101, which, by the way, Marxism is Luciferianism. Marx openly worshipped Lucifer. Everybody track it. So wherever you hear the word sustainable, that's Marxism. Wherever you hear the word like community, that's Marxism. Wherever you hear the word progressive, that's Marxism. All of it is Luciferianism. All right. So we got to get our definitions right when we're talking about these things. But anyways, the last string is kinetic internal civil war. Then comes the invasion from the outside in, you know, and so they are trying to create and stir the pot against every line so that people cannot unify against them. Here's the key thing that's going on with Ukraine. Multiple layers of Ukraine, right? We know the 28 different bioweapons labs and the one thing that the medicine that we're supposed to take, the thing that created the thing for the medicine came out of Ukraine and was shipped over to Wuhan and all that. Like we most of the people that are listening to this are pretty in tune to the reality of the world around them, right?
By the way, I want to say that Dave Hodges talked about that 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah, that it was all out of Ukraine. Yep.
Yeah, Dave Hodges came out and talked about that. So that, well, I mean, that man knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, and I remember learning years ago that all the central hub of all the child sex trafficking, which wherever there's child sex trafficking, that also equates to ritualistic child sacrifice, that all of it is funneled through Ukraine. This is the Hunter Biden laptop. Everybody tracking. This is what the laptop is all about.
Do you remember when the beginnings of Iraq, when you'd hear about Houday and Qusay?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know where I'm going? You know where I'm going with this? Houday and Qusay and their castles and the chambers that they had where they were assaulting women. To the point of torturing and killing them. And one of them is either Houday or Qusay, was recorded as being a cannibal for it. And I can't remember. God, it was so long ago. I can't remember. I was over the lake where they had the skeletons. You know what I mean? Where the dude would have his rowboat and he would row over. He would paddle over all the skeletons that were in his little like mirror lake that he had out there in front of the. I don't know if it was the Yellow Palace. I'm not sure which one it was. But a lot of those women and like the young girls, and we're talking about obviously underage,
right? Children. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of them, Eastern European.
Yes.
Eastern European. And where did they get funneled from? Ukraine.
It was Ukraine. So that's what most people don't know about Ukraine. So here's the other caveat. So you have to take this into consideration with what went on in Afghanistan, the withdrawal of Afghanistan, the multi-billion dollars of equipment left there, right? And now you have all of our strategic arms reserves being shipped into Ukraine under the guise of poor Ukraine, right? This is all spin doctor action going on here. Here's why. Is because they know that there is always going to be a loyal patriotic contingent, even within the general staff and the general officer staff across the board of the different areas of the Department of Defense, that will not go along with this internal takedown of America. And they will rally troops to fight against these globalistic things, or even the Chinese and the Russians coming in to invade. So they know that, right? They have such sophisticated quantum computing AI algorithms that know literally every, it is literally like the movie Minority Report. Like they know pre-crime, right? They know exactly what's going to happen ahead of time. They're shipping out all of our strategic reserves. So even when the patriotic generals who will not obey the stand down order from our own government to allow us to be taken over by a foreign entity, they'll have nothing to fight with. So this is what, there is multiple layers of what's going on here. And this isn't it is conspiratory. There is a conspiracy, but it's not sensational. It's not hyperbolic, right? This is the reality of what's going on. So you see the reduction of the military, the reduction of the law enforcement, the reduction of our critical infrastructure. That means like fire, EMS, nursing, right? Fuel resupply, electrical grids, right? They're talking about the rolling brownouts all across America. They're food to feed your troops and to feed your population in a time of national emergency.
They're getting used to it.
Yeah. And when you remove, I mean, one of the most strategic things is when you remove mobility, that's fuel, right? That's the ability to purchase fuel, haul fuel, truck fuel. When you remove mobility, you have just shut down an entire nation. Mobility has more value than bullets and bandages is mobility. So
we'll keep going because I have something to add to that. There's a certain country, I believe it's Sri Lanka. Let me pull this up. Sri Lanka suspends all sales of fuel for non-essential vehicles in economic crisis. For the next 2 weeks, only buses, trains, ambulances, and vehicles used to transport food will be allowed to fill up their tanks.
Yep. Control this. This gets into going back to the procurement stuff from DHS. I can't remember what it was. It was like 27,000 armored mobile checkpoints were purchased by DHS. Did you ever see one when you were in there training? Never saw one. So where are they? Like, we've seen the Government Accounting Office. It's all Freedom of Information Act. They bought them. Where are they? They bought the 3,700 MRAPs. Where are they? They bought the 7 billion rounds of ammo. Where is it? You know, like, where is it? So you have this one contingent that's building. I'm like, whenever you hear the, like, oh, 10,000 cattle or 35 million chickens cold, they're not being cold. Those are all going somewhere. They're being processed. They're just being taken off the civilian market. Those are going into the deep underground military bases and all kinds of other different things, right? So the bottom line is that we can't be myopic in our analysis of the lateness of the hour and the reality of what's going on. The Ukraine thing is not about Russia and Ukraine. It is about it is about the currency of their dark economy. What is the currency of the dark economy? Blood and children. Blood and children, blood and children. That's what Ukraine is central on, right? What is the secondary currency of the dark economy? Fear, division, anger, aggression, riotous living, like violence, rage. This is what, it's an energy source for these guys. They must have it. So anything that goes against that, anything that could be an impediment to that, i.e. a mother and a father who love each other, and children who are secure in their identity as a human being or within their gender, they can't have that. They cannot tolerate it, because it's literally a cosmic warfare being battled out in the unseen realms that we don't understand. So Ukraine has nothing to do with Russian aggression, right? Or even mineral rights. We know 30% of the world's grain comes out of Ukraine and Russia combined. It's not about that. It's about a war on a level that we don't understand. And it's actually about a preparatory maneuver for war on the American home front. Well, because we are the last bastion that must be burned down in order for a new order of governance and of economics to arise out of the ashes. That's what it's all centered on.
Oh yeah, we are the next Rome to be raised. That's without a doubt. You know what Ukraine reminds me, as you say that, the dark web. And yeah. I don't want to get into that too much, but there's a lot of shady stuff in the dark web that, you know, law enforcement tracks, tries to prevent to an extent, and a lot of it is Eastern European.
Yeah. A lot. That's funny. When I first learned about the dark web, I learned that a lot of it was being hosted out of Ukraine.
Yeah. A lot of the snuff films. I mean, I don't want to get into stuff like that, because it puts me in a very bad place. But if you've never been in law enforcement, you've never had to review any of those footages or had buddies that had to review the footages of children that are trafficked and all that. I mean, it will change you. You'll never look at another human being the same again. It will change you, you know? And that's a threat upon the elite, because that's where they get their films from. That's where they get their folly from. And Russia threatens that. And once again, Vladimir Putin appears to not want to be healed. He's not a dog that wants to be healed by the elite masters. And because of that, I think we're going to have a war in Europe. Russia seems to think so. You know, the Brits are saying, hey, get ready for a ground invasion. Hey, man, when's the last time we talked about stuff like that? It was.
Yeah. Have you seen where, like, Sweden and Finland and some of those other Scandinavian countries, also, I believe, in Austria and elsewhere, they have sent out pamphlets to every single citizen about preparation for World War III. They don't even make, they're not like, oh, you know, for possible rough times. They're like straight up World War III.
Yep.
Like, and brace for impact.
And over here, people are being lulled asleep with America's Got Talent and McDonald's meals.
And what's his name? Johnny Depp and his.
Who cares?
Like, who cares? Who cares, dude? Yeah, right?
Who cares, man? Amber Heard's nasty, and Johnny Depp's he's a freaking drunken idiot. Who cares? He's a good actor. I won't take that away from him. I love Pirates of the Caribbean, and then it stops. I could care less about Johnny Depp, mainly because hey, you remember when he said a quote? When's the last time an actor assassinated a president? Yeah, no, thank you, Mr. Depp. You're not one of my favorites.
Yeah. Well, here's what's crazy though is, like, so. You see, you know that Russia has legislated to ban, what do we call them? The other community, that is outlawed in Russia. And Russia has passed legislation to say that they undergird the nuclear family and they want to restore fathers to their children and fathers to their wives.
China did the same thing though. China, yeah. And Xi Jinping came out and said, there's no longer going to be feminizing of boys.
Yep.
You're not going to have all this stupid anime where all these kids look like
freak show kids. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, we're not doing that. Men are going to start acting like men again in China. I remember when he said that, because he said, we're doing it in preparedance for war.
Yes. Remember too, that Russia under Putin and the Russian Orthodox Church said, Jesus, there is only one true religion and its head is Jesus Christ. So you literally see that the Chinese and Russians are doing everything the opposite of what the United States is. But what people don't understand is the United States has been infiltrated by China and Russia, just bought off, just because our narcissistic freak show pedophile elite, which, what is it? I mean, 85% of them are pedophiles. 85% of them are caught in pedophilia. That's from the local level all the way up to the federal level. That is what they feed off of. There's only one way to operate at that level generally, and that's if you're already compromised, so then nobody can hold something and out blackmail each other. So they have infiltrated our country, destroyed our value, championed the other community, championed all these other things, all the while they are building up their cultures to be strong, centralized nuclear families, masculine men, strong militaries, robust economies built on internal manufacturing and manufacturing capabilities, and an affluence that we don't even know here in America. We have the semblance of affluence, but everybody's drowning in debt. It is all phony. Every time I drive down around, I'm like, this is all fake. It's all going to burn. Like, one percentage change, and you're going to see a fire sale on everything imaginable. I always say, cash is king, man. If you are debt free and you have a little bit of cash on hand, just wait. You want a side by side? You want a four wheeler? You want a boat? You want a camper? Dude, it is, fire sale prices are coming. People will be, they're so overladen with debt. There's no affluence in America. It's funny money. It's all, but over there, they have real money because it's centralized on manufacturing. So all this. And remember, our elected officials, remember Dianne Feinstein, Chinese spy, and what's his name with the honeypot, Chinese spy, and then what's his name at MIT, Chinese spy, and what's his name at Harvard, Chinese spy. I mean, it's all the same. And so here they are building robust. They have, what was that, the Fang, I always forget his first name, how they just said all of Shanghai just got converted to a wartime economy and wartime industrialization. All the mass production of our cheap crap that we bring in from China, they have been refitting and retooling all their industry in Shenzhen, that's where it is, and Shenzhen strictly for wartime production. If anybody remembers their history, what made America become the sole superpower was our manufacturing for wartime. It was the conversion of all of our manufacturing to build up a strong military, which allowed us to become a singular superpower.
Well, don't forget Wei Fang, who is...
That's what I'm saying. Wei Fang, that's his name. Well, yeah.
He's one of their like DOD heads. But he said that China is more than willing to use biological warfare against Americans, and that they're cooking up something that would not affect anyone with Chinese descent. I don't know why they would only solo out China. I mean, whatever. But they're ready to use germ warfare. Hey, man, when's the last time we talked about that type of stuff, right? Germ warfare, bio warfare, chemical warfare. There's other things out there that has been around for a while. I've covered it previously, but there are things out there like psychochemicals, okay? And these are chemicals that you can release amongst a population, and you can cause delirium, mass delusion, mass hallucination. You can cause people to become hyper-aggressive. I don't know if you ever got exposed to any of the stuff with the chemical warfare guys, but like there's certain agents that are out there, like ammonia, right? Let's just say ammonia. If you've ever smelt ammonia, it feels like you're being stabbed in the brain, right? And it makes you run, right? And they have stuff way worse. And I mean way worse. Vaporless odor. And we used it in ride control. We actually had a canister of OC that is vaporless and odorless. So when you throw it amongst the feet of all the idiots that are out there, you know, of the other communities wanting to say that they're, you know, wanting to take over the country, burn everything down. We throw some of those canisters out there. They don't know it because there's no smoke, no smell. All of a sudden they just start running. It's funny to watch. But if you think about it, we have the ability to drop stuff like that on our own populace. We let the
Remember
do that to us.
Yep. And remember too, like we have precedents for the whole Hate Ashbury, right? San Francisco scene, Grateful Dead, you know, Pink Floyd, all those. All of that was a beta test. The entire movement, including feminism, was not organic, right? The rise of feminism, the drug culture of the late 60s and early 70s, that was fabricated by the CIA to see if they could produce mass psychosis with the intended goal of releasing it into the water supplies of the Russians during the Cold War. All of that. Jerry Garcia, dude, I was a deadhead. I used to tour with those guys and like fishing. I was a stupid pothead, mushroom eating idiot. Luckily, I never got arrested for it. So I could eventually become a cop and get every waiver under the sun to join the military and blah, blah, blah. You know, like that's how I was rolling back in the day. Right. So like I ran around in the hippie type cultures. And Jerry Garcia was on the CIA payroll. Timothy Leary was on the CIA payroll. There's high speculation, informed speculation, and some documentation that Jimi Hendrix was on the CIA payroll. And the whole thing was, could you produce mass psychosis through the releasing of LSD? Government officials were the ones that were handing out LSD at Grateful Dead concerts. And then they would sit around and they would monitor and see what would happen. If you use the right tonal frequencies with the introduction of LSD, could you create mass psychosis? They did create mass psychosis. Guess why? Because every single one of those people that were in that audience are now in Congress and in our Senate. Everybody understand that? Every single one of the people in our Congress and our Senate were the country-hating, Vietnam veterans spitting on, vile, topless, feminist marching, drug-induced freak shows are now all the ones that refused to go to war, all the ones that refused to stand up for America, all the ones that bought into the infiltration of the whole indoctrination of communism, consuming LSD from the CIA. Those are all the ones that are congressmen or senators. Everybody's, again, context is everything, man. Most people don't have the context. Who are these people? They're the ones you see in the vile movies that are spitting on troops, right? And tearing their shirts off and burning their bras. They are rebels at their core. They are lawless. They hate law. They hate the rule of law because God institutes lawfulness. The Lord God Almighty institutes lawfulness. The Constitution sets out baselines of lawfulness that a lot of it's rooted in biblical precedents. They hate it. They are lawless. They are in open rebellion because that's what their King Lucifer serves. Remember, Hillary Clinton's thesis was based on what's his nuts book that was dedicated to Lucifer. The Saul first Alinsky. True rebel, right?
Saul Alinsky, right?
Yeah, Saul Alinsky. So like, listen, these people don't hide it. They tell you this is what we're all about. And so when people go, oh, geez, we just need to vote different this midterm election. Well, I'm like, bro.
Here's another thing that's really funny because you mentioned Saul Alinsky, who hates people, hates life. Robert Byrd, he was a grand cyclops of the Ku Klux Klan. And that was Hillary Clinton's mentor when she got into politics. Like, why is that ever brought up?
Yeah.
Why does nobody care about that?
How about Bill Gates' parents?
The left's over here screaming about white supremacy and all this other crap. Like, your girl Hillary, it might as well have been inducted into the Klan. Hey, out there in the areas of Arkansas where they were at, that's Klan country. I've been there. That's all Klan country. I got buddies of mine who served warrants there. That's all Klan country, right? You know, you can't lie to us about it. But the mainstream media does such a great job at telling another story. So let me ask you this. The midterms are coming up. Do you think the midterms will go through, or do you think we'll have post riots of midterm, post or after pre riots, post riots? Yeah, and then what's the possibility of civil war for the midterm?
Man, that's tough.
Because hey, yeah. Man, look, if what we're saying is correct, the Republicans are going to sweep it. That red tidal wave is coming. We're getting it all back. Maybe not the idiot in the White House, but if we get back the Senate and if we get back the House, then at least we can remain control of that, though I don't trust half the people that are in there, right?
Right.
Mitch McConnell and Leader McCarthy and all these other people. I don't trust those people at all, but that's the hand that we got dealt, and that's what we got to deal with. However, I will take them over the Democrats, but I think at some point in time, the Democrats are going to say, all right, we've spun the country up. We've confused everybody. We've put bad medicine in the water. We've got all different types of little nefarious operations out there. Now is the time to strike. Civil war has to start now. Civil war has to start now, or we're going to lose control of everything. Trump's going to get reelected, and then we're going to be screwed for another 4 years of Russia investigations. And we're going to have to keep dating these things back, because I think a lot of these Democrats that are in their 70s, 80s, they want this stuff to happen in their lifetime.
Yeah, they want to see it. Yeah.
They want to be a king and queen of their own little districts that China will let them.
Yeah.
I fully believe that.
Oh, it's the Hunger Games. Hunger Games, the author of the Hunger Games was actually a CIA, not operative, but what's the word? They get paid under the table as an author. Here's the storyline, put it out there. And then we'll make sure that you're a very successful, New York Times bestseller. What's that?
That's Project Mockingbird.
Yeah. So, what's the whole focus of Katniss Everdeen in the Hunger Games is the Mockingjay, right? Like that's the whole symbol of every movie is the Mockingjay. So anyways, all that was put out because that is their desire is the 10 districts, which again, there's prophetic fulfillment bred into that as well too, about 10 kings. There's 10 earthly kings. The whole world is broken up into 10 districts. And I know being in NIMS and all the other different stuff is that the U.S. is broken down into 10 FEMA districts that in times of national emergency.
NIMS is National Incident Management Systems.
Yes. Yep. So as part of our National Incident Management System that we are all collectively trained across the board so that we're always all speaking the same. I can come from being a cop in Illinois, Iowa to, and working with the marshals over there to meeting up with you down in Texas. And we're going to be using the same language, same jargon. We're going to have the same structures and logistics that we're working off of. This is NIMS, right? So within the NIMS system is the United States is broken up into 10 FEMA districts. Each one will have a district governor appointed to rule over that. And here's what's so fascinating about get this, ladies and gents, I'm telling you, everything's in plain sight. Each district is the way they broke up the United States in these 10 districts is that each district would have a central commodity that they would be responsible of producing for the capital. Sound familiar? They're literally Hunger Games. And all the resources will be shipped to a elite capital and all the other 10 FEMA regions are to operate at a reduced level. And you cannot cross borders from one FEMA region to another. They will be totally isolated from one another. So anyways, I don't know where I was going with that, but somehow that got triggered. I'm an idiot.
It's all connected because that's the future, right? The future is that you're not going to own anything after we build everything back better because we burnt it all down. You're not going to own anything and you're going to love it. You're not going to have a job. You're not going to have a paycheck. The government will give you credits for your month. You'll get your daily rations, like this little baggie that's one of my kids. Went to a dinosaur park and had a bunch of little fossils in here. But this will be your baggie for the month of your June bugs and your mealworms that you get to eat to make your bread out of. Have you seen that? They're trying to make bug bread flour.
Dude,
get out of here, bro. No,
dude, get
no
this crazy you. Connection.
I'm done.
Get this crazy connection. Prophetic. Again, it's like you can't see it until it's happening in real time. One of the one of the attributes of the end times and of the great tribulation. There's a reason why they called it the great reset. The great reset is the great tribulation. They know the Bible and they know about Christ and God, the Father and Holy Spirit more than most Christians do. They study it because that's their enemy. Right. So they know prophecy. So when you hear the word great reset, they are saying the great tribulation is coming. The great tribulation is coming. Right. Here's what's interesting. As it specifically says that they will be forbidden from marriage and the eating of meat. Strange line in the prophetic timing of the end of the days. You're like, that's a really strange thing. Not to mention, you know, we do see there's speculation as we see blockchain technology, right, and centralized cryptocurrencies and social credit scores coming online and all that. We can see how the mark of the beast would be implemented. Nobody can buy or sell unless you give an allegiance to this. The beast is a government system. Mm-hmm. Everybody get that? The beast of Revelation is a governmental system. Unless you give allegiance to this governmental system, you swear allegiance, you will be cut off digitally from the economy. You cannot buy or sell. You cannot operate in the sphere of everybody else.
You can't get your instruction, your construction license. You can't get your insurance. You can't get your teacher certificate. You can't
purchase gas. You can't do whatever, you know. No. I mean, and they almost did it with the medicine that they were mandating everybody to take, is that you cannot operate in the economy. You can't come back to work. Therefore you can't earn money. Therefore you can't buy. Now, when you converge that with the micro dot tattooing and the nanotech and the syncing to your medical records, syncing to your banking records, the digital currencies, the central bank digital currencies that they're all wanting to roll out. You can see how quickly this can come onto the scene. So I know we went off on a tangent. Your question was about the midterms. What does this look like in the midterms? It's like, dude, I don't know, man. All I know is that they're not going to go quietly into the night. They've come too far with the destruction and the erosion of the American psyche through 50 years of mass vaccination, child vaccination records, to the mind control of SpongeBob SquarePants and the Cartoon Network and all these other things, to the grooming through Disney and all these other things, to the infiltration National Education Association, where almost, you know, half the schools have full-blown witches covens by all the teachers that are in those schools. Like, dude, they've come too far. And it's like, they're not going to go, oh, geez, there's a populist uprising. They don't have plan A and plan B. They have plan A through Z, and then the whole Chinese alphabet after it as well, because they're bought up by China. They have so many contingencies where they'll go, okay, we'll let the midterms fizzle out. But as soon as they do, we'll throw this into the mix and we'll throw everybody into a panic again.
Years ago, I was still stationed up north with DHS. But I had stumbled upon something with some marshals, and we were talking about how there is a whole pamphlet out there. And when I say pamphlet, I might as well just say an encyclopedia of scenarios. And these scenarios are wrote by Hollywood writers. And I mean, to the point that it gives you time and date, order of march, like, you know, what units are going to be involved, what logistics are involved, how to create the entire scenario and situation. And then it even lays out like the actors who would be involved in it, the bad guys, the good guys, the antagonists, the protagonists, the outcome of civilians. And it would be like EMP, nuclear attack, chemical, biological, radiological attack, invasion, civil war. Like it had like this huge thing. And I remember it took me forever just to read the nuclear attack one, because it is so well written. And these are things that we use within the government to war game events.
We have
writers write these things, right? And it makes me say this, and you know, people may or may not know why I say this all the time, but there are narratives wrote about every incident that we are going through, and connecting narratives are different types of scenarios. All right. So you have this whole narrative, this whole story that's been wrote about what's going on, how to respond, who is doing what within this story, and then it'll connect to another event. And that event will go on to the next narrative. And it's just like they're just open up a book. You remember like in boot camp, for the Marine Corps boot camp at least, every day they had something planned in a booklet. Hey, look, right now it says teach them how to fold their clothes, teach them how to tie their boots. Oh, and for 1 hour straight, scream and yell and PT them to death, right? And then the next day, here's the next thing. Oh, 5 hours of PT them to death, 1 hour of screaming at them of how to clean a toilet, right? And they literally have pamphlets, booklets of telling them what today's agenda is.
Yeah.
That's what we're dealing with now. Because you're looking at stuff, we're watching stuff happening and how it's unfolding very slowly. And everyone's like, look, we have all the stuff in place to fix problems, but we're not doing it. And the government's taking their sweet freaking time doing everything. That's because of the compartmentalization within the narratives.
That's the Clower and Piven. Yep.
You have to do this before I can do this. And then once you've done this, we have to have a hot wash or an after action. And then we go to this one, then this one. That is what's being done right now.
Yeah, it's a long game. And I think it's interesting, again, biblical worldview, specifically talking about the end of times, the end of age, the great tribulation, great reset, right? Is it specifically says that the Antichrist and the whole governmental system that comes, it's a governmental system. It says that he will wear out the saints. See, it's a grinding action. Everybody keeps waiting for the big aha. There is no big aha. You're right smack in the middle of it. There's not like this big, like, okay, now I know the lateness of the hour. It is that late. I mean, did you see what was going on in Seattle the other day with these naked trannies like shaking their junk in front of children and eating each other's crap in the middle of the streets in Seattle? Are you freaking kidding me? And there's not one dad that will run out there and lay one of those guys out and knock, break his freaking jaw?
Sodom.
Or who are the parents who are bringing their kids to watch that, right? Like, so the lateness of the hour, it is Sodom and Gomorrah. It is the days of Lot and the days of Noah. It is genetic manipulation and the corruption of everything God created. It's the perversion of all flesh. It's the giving over of strong delusions. It's the narcissism and love of self. It is, dude, it is late. And everybody's, and most of the Americans, believers and unbelievers, that at least have a degree of moral decency left in them are sitting there twiddling them thumbs going, when it gets bad, then I'll stand up. When it gets bad, then I'll act. When this happens, then I'll know. I'm like, it's happening. It says he will wear out the saints. It is a grinding action. Do you feel ground to the bone, listeners? Like, if you don't, you're not paying attention. You're a narcissist. You're a straight up narcissist. If you are not perplexed, if you're not tormented in your righteous soul by the lawless deeds you see and hear in the city day and the night, if you're not tormented, if you're not undone, if you're not going, woe is me, or God arise and scatter your enemies, or Lord, what would you have me do? Or God forgive me for where I've been complacent or whatever. If you're indifferent, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. Everybody understand that? Hate is a pure, awesome, beautiful form of love. The Lord God Almighty, God who is love itself, hates all kinds of things because he loves. Because he's so full of love, he's so full of hate. The opposite of love is indifference. If you're complacent and indifferent and like, I got mine, or well, it doesn't affect me because I don't have kids or whatever the case, like however you compartmentalize, dude, you're a narcissist straight up. And what's interesting about narcissism is it is the defining characteristic of the culture just before Christ's return. It is the number one characteristic of the collective global consciousness is narcissism. It is a love of self. It is a love of pleasure rather than a love of God. It is a posture that says, I am wealthy and in need of nothing. Look at me. I'm crushing it.
Well, you know what that reminds me of? A buddy of mine. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. You can find the rest of this interview on YouTube and Rumble. If you would like to donate, you can go to www.americanvindictusshow.com. We have a donation section on there, and donations are always greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
All stations, all stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.